So as you know, we've been talking a lot about OA policies and article processing charges and things like that. And so, you know, I don't want to talk about some of those details, but I'm here to talk about I'm talking about the back end part of things. So it's the invoicing and the processing part of things, and it's really about, and this is from the publisher's perspective. And so as everybody was talking about, Regine was talking about, you know, I hope the publishers are ready to, you know, have a process that's easy. And so as you can tell, it can all add up, and it ends up being a really big kind of issue and what we're trying to think about and how to kind of solve those kind of problems. So as you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the national, there's a lot of national funders that are providing direct funding. What I see as a publisher and working with some of these invoices and these processes, you know, I do see things like, you know, the funders that are putting grants for institutions, for APC funds, they're thinking about third parties like Oak and things like that. And then funders are really looking at ways of, or funders and institutions are really looking at trying to streamline that process. And so, again, as a publisher, we actually only deal with article processing fees. And so, though we don't have subscriptions, we're still going, oh my gosh, you know, there's a lot kind of going on. We're really happy to see how this is working out. But again, it's still a lot going on. So how I see the current situation is that, you know, the current model is very centralized. So there's a subscription model. You work with, you know, the publishers work with the libraries. They might work with a third-party vendor. Institution payments are really coming from the librarian's budget. Librarians will submit it to their finance departments. Pretty easy. That's how it's been. But with article processing fees, what we deal with here at PLOS, it's very different. So I see a very decentralized system. So we'll get, we'll invoice a researcher. We'll invoice them directly. Payments might be made by the finance department. It might be made by a lab researcher kind of doing a credit card payment. It also might be like a grant manager. And so also what we're finding is researchers weren't really familiar with paying article processing fees. So they think, oh my God, what do I do this? I have this invoice. So they don't know how to deal with that. So we have to then deal with chasing down the invoices. And who do we chase down? You know, all the different finance departments are very different. They're not necessarily connected. And so it's very difficult to do that. And then there's also the institutional OA funds. So there might be where a researcher will pay the invoice and that institution or library pays that in, or reimburses to them. Researcher might submit a, you know, the invoice directly to the institution too, and then the institution pays us. So there's, again, as you can see, there's just a lot of different ways to do this. And again, we only handle things like article processing charges. We don't have a subscription model. And then also with research funders, there's the direct grants that go to the direct grants to institutions to fund publication charges, and then, you know, the institution pays the researcher. So again, we're working with three different types of groups here. There's establish a direct billing system with a publisher. So there, again, there's just a lot of different ways of doing this. So again, you kind of have this mishmash of things here. And even again, for PLOS, we process about 600 invoices per week. So I think my question is, you know, as publishers, are you prepared to kind of handle this? We think it's really, really great that, you know, there's the people are thinking about funding the article processes charges. I think that's really great. But then it's like you have to think as a publisher, are you prepared? So are you doing this manually? Are you doing, or is this going to be automated? Can you, is your is your billing platform ready to, you know, be scalable? And if you are a subscription-based OA journal, can you again, you know, take on APCs? So I think those things are really important. And I think people might say, well, you're PLOS, so you're really big, you can do this and this and this. But even if you're smaller, you're going to have to think about scalability. So if you're having a volunteer even just processing your fees, you might have to scale up. With some of these new initiatives coming up, you might have to think about, okay, well, maybe we might have to hire a quarter-time person, or we have to have a process. If you're using something like PayPal or things like that, or again, if you're starting up a new journal and you're only thinking about subscription models, you now need to start thinking about how you're going to be accepting these article processing charges. So, and I see this as an opportunity too. So I think there's a lot of work in this, in the back end and things, but one, I think, you know, researchers won't think of this, the publication charges, as a barrier anymore, because again, it's starting to be institutionalized. Researchers will have a better understanding about how much it costs to do research, because they haven't had a chance to really think about that due to the subscription models. And I think the librarians have done an excellent job in doing that, but we still get a lot of researchers saying, I have to pay for this? I've never had to pay for this before. So also what I think is that, you know, the cost of publishing is a lot more transparent this way too. And I think what it also does is it makes this whole financial process a lot more efficient. And I think with all the three different kind of parties, the publishers, the institutions, and the research funders, we do have to work together and kind of figure out how we can process these things much easier. And then also I think what I'm happy to see is that what this does, some of these policies will do is bring the APCs kind of, it'll bring it more credibility. Because what I hear too is a lot of researchers are saying, well, this is an author pay model, so this is a vanity journal. And so that's not true. All of our journals are peer-reviewed. They're very credible. Some of them have, you know, high impact, high quality. So again, I'm hoping that this will kind of solve some of those issues and stereotypes. So takeaways. Again, really anticipate some of these charges and what will be effective. Evaluate your current system. You know, look at it and say, how are we going to scale if we add on 10% or so much? But again, as you can see, these policies are coming down the pipeline. We're at a fork in the road. It's easier to make some of these processes and procedures within your system now. PLOS is really big, so sometimes what we have to do is it's really hard to make some of those changes, but we manage. So think scalability. Think about administration and its sustainability, because that's really important too. So again, if you add on staff or if you don't add on staff, it's going to be a really big issue. So again, to me, the most important thing is figure out ways to make this efficient and automate it as much as possible. And I guess the last thing is, you know, you have a lot of other journals who have done this, like PLOS. BMC has a good system. I know there's a few others too that have come up with some good ways of handling these fees. And so, you know, hopefully we'll all kind of work together, think about some best practices, what has worked out. I can definitely tell you what's good and what's bad, what you might do, what you might not do. And then hopefully we can work with some of the funders and some of the institutions on how this will work. But I think, again, these things are kind of new, but there's a lot of new opportunity to make some differences of how we'll process it. So that's it. And remember, you don't want to be like this.